Brothers and sisters, these are some tough readings. I wish that I had more than an 8 to 10 minute homily to address them, as I know that the words of Jesus may be unsettling and even downright offensive to some people. But I'd be remiss in my obligations to you if I didn't preach on these words today, even knowing how difficult and how hurtful it may be for some of you to hear. As a priest, I've been ordained your spiritual father. And this means that I'm privileged to share some of the greatest joys and accomplishments in your lives with you. But it also means that I must speak to you candidly about spiritual truths, even if they're not to your liking. You know, I never liked it when my father told me that we would not be having Oreo cookies for dinner. Even worse was when he said that I had to eat liver and onions, which was anything but palatable. But I know that my dad would have been negligent if he would have let me eat Oreos in lieu of liver and onions. And furthermore, my dad was a rather astute man, and he knew that if he ever did let me have Oreos for dinner, he would be held accountable for that decision by the all-knowing and the all-powerful, by Mom. Similarly, I know that I will be held accountable for what I teach you. And it's my responsibility to preach the truth, regardless of its popularity and regardless of anyone's desire to hear it. In this morning's Office of Readings, which we priests are required to pray every morning, St. Gregory wrote to his priests, "Imprudent silence may leave in error those who could have been taught. Pastors lack foresight if they hesitate to say openly what is right because they fear losing the favor of men. And so while I may lose your favor, I must tell you that there will be no Oreos for dinner today." I'm sure some of you will dismiss me saying, "He's a 36-year-old celibate. What does he know about marriage? Or what does he know about life, for that matter?" But before you dismiss me so quickly, let me remind you that I have spent 7 years in seminary studying the teachings of a man younger than I, a 33-year-old celibate, who, as it turns out, is the author of life and God incarnate. And so while I'm not, nor have I ever been married, I do know Christ, and I know his teachings, and I know them to be true. In the gospel, Jesus is very clear in his teaching on marriage and divorce, and there's no ambiguity in his words. And when pressed on the issue, much like in the Bread of Life discourse, Jesus doesn't back down or change his teaching. Rather, he doubles down on it, emphatically stating, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." I know that there is almost certainly people in this congregation who find themselves in this situation in which Jesus is so critical. And on an emotional level, I wish I could comfort you by saying that everything is okay. But if I were to do that, I'd be lying. So instead, I'm going to demonstrate my genuine concern and love for you by preaching the truth, which is that Jesus himself says that such relationships are not okay, and that he makes no accommodation to the contrary. I'd also encourage you, if you are in this situation, to reflect upon the readings with an open heart and to speak with a priest or a deacon or a pastoral associate, as it may be possible to rectify your situation. Furthermore, I also want to say it's important to note that Jesus didn't say that every couple should stay together at all costs, and that there may in fact be situations that require a couple to separate, such as if one spouse becomes abusive. But such separation does not necessarily give a spouse freedom to remarry. But see, beyond all these teachings, I think it's important for all of us to know not simply that divorce and remarriage is wrong and may be sinful, but why this is the case, as this will help us prevent our hearts from becoming hardened. Marriages are a unique relationship between a man and a woman that God instituted from the earliest moments of creation. The book of Genesis informs us that it was God who authored this relationship, a point that Jesus reaffirmed in the gospel by saying, "What God has joined together. No human being must separate. And this makes marriage special, as it's not a human institution, but a relationship that was instituted by God. And when I preside at weddings, I always emphasize this point to couples, because I think that the busyness of a wedding and doing all the planning and preparation can almost make it seem as if it's the couple who have brought everyone together, and it's the couple's own doing. And while the couple is certainly an important part of the equation, their coming together is a response to a call from God. When a couple enters a church to profess their love, it's no coincidence that they were brought together. It's God's divine providence. And this makes marriage sacred, meaning set apart. It's unlike any other relationship. Marriage was instituted by God for a unique purpose, to reflect his love for humanity. And in marriage, the love between a husband and a wife is fundamentally different from any other loving relationship, because it unites a couple in a physical, emotional, and spiritual way, creating a union with the power to be procreative. And in a Christian context, marriage takes on further significance, as it's a witness of the love and fidelity between Christ and his church. Just as Christ unites himself to his bride, the church, so too do husband and wife unite themselves to each other. And in this way, their life becomes sacramental. It manifests Christ. Now, with this understanding of the great dignity that's been given to marriage, we can see why any attack, whether it be an attack that wishes to redefine who can get married, or an attack that challenges the permanence of marriage, or an attack that comes from one spouse becoming abusive towards another, is problematic. Whenever any sacrament is attacked and devalued, we Catholics should become upset. You know, we were right to become upset and critical of the men who desecrated the sacrament of holy orders by abusing children. And we're rightfully upset when we go onto YouTube and see videos of the Eucharist being desecrated. The sacraments are manifestations of Christ in the world, and they need to be lived and treated accordingly. Thus, the same is true for marriage. And the Church teaches that if a person is divorced and remarried without having the prior marriage declared null, they are committing adultery, which is an affront to the sacrament of marriage. And I know this sounds harsh, and I know it affects so many people in our society, but I think this is all the more reason that we need to be honest about the situation rather than to ignore it, pretending that something that is sinful is actually virtuous. And I know many people will argue that they believe God would want them to be happy, and that this is how they found happiness. But see, the problem with this is that Jesus has never called us to happiness. He calls us to holiness. Or rather, he tells us that the way to true happiness is through holiness. The great St. Ambrose commented, "The more we try in the world to give ourselves to God our Lord by obeying his commands, the greater will be our happiness in the life to come." And yet so often, we find ourselves abandoning the quest for holiness. We neglect God's commands and instead seek what will make us happy in this world. But in doing so, we can often deceive ourselves about what is morally right and wrong. And if we think back to the fall of Adam and Eve, we realize Eve didn't reflect upon the morality of what she was doing when she ate the apple. No, she was deceived. She was deceived into thinking that something that was intrinsically evil was actually good. In a similar way, many of the priests who committed the abuse against minors, when questioned about it, have defended their actions as being acts of love. These men have been deceived into thinking that something that was evil was actually good. And so too are we deceived when we think that divorce and remarriage is something that's good as opposed to something that is wrong. And this is why it's so important for us not only to listen to the words of Christ that he spoke in the gospel today, but to integrate them and to allow them to form us. You know, had Adam and Eve truly heard and integrated the commands of God, it's possible that we would all be celebrating today in the Garden of Eden. Had the clergy who abused minors, heard the word of God, and integrated it into their lives. The damage done to so many victims, to the priesthood, and to the church would have all been avoided. If we heed Christ's words in the gospel on the dignity of marriage and form our lives around those words and commit ourselves to supporting married couples in their vocation, we can overcome the hardness of our hearts and allow Christ's presence to be manifest in our world. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who uphold the dignity of marriage.